Like, it takes a while with me to have a little bit of trust, right? Yeah, this is something that's earned, and she'd earned it with me. So she tells me that story, and I know her personally. And you know that game of telephone where, like, you have the people lined up, and one person tells another, and by the time you get through 6, 8, 10 people, like, you're hearing a totally skewed version of the original story. But I heard that, just to be upfront and honest, just me, and I tell you that story today, just to be upfront and honest, just me personally, that there's some verses in the Bible that are just kind of hard to believe. For me, something that's hard to believe is that a grown man survived living in the belly of a fish. Like I hear that, right? And I go, I don't know. And like non-Christians might bring something up like that up. But the way I hear it is like, you can't argue someone to believe in Jesus, right? Like, there's no argument I can make. Well, you have to believe this. Or maybe he had an air pocket in there. Like, it's just a hard-to-believe story. But I do want to work today off the basis that most of us, and if this is not you, great, we're glad you're here. But most of you today are of the belief that the Bible is a God-breathed thing, and it's true. Amen? Okay, so working off that basis, if you have your Bibles today, turn to Acts 9. We're going to spend most of our time in there as far as the following along. But first, I want to talk briefly about who Paul was before this. Because as Brad said, we shared a lot in this message, or in this series rather, about all his different trips and his letters to these different places. But how many of us actually know who Paul was pre, like, conversion? So Paul was an enemy of Christians, point blank. He was probably the one that they feared the most. He had spent his life to this point persecuting Christians. Paul thought he was doing God's work. He was actually very devout to God. He thought he was doing God's work. Luke said that Paul laid waste to the church. So this is who Paul was previous to what we're going to read. In Acts 9 here, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. I don't know if I can read that one, so we'll go with this one. It'll be on your screen here shortly. So this is Paul's, like, he's on the road to Damascus. Who's heard that before? Most of us. So meanwhile, Paul is Saul, Saul is Paul. We good? We got that? All right, good. There was no official, I'm not going to go there. So meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, we all know what the way is, like Jesus, you know, right? If he found anyone that belonged to the way, whether men or women, he would take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, now these are in your Bible, these are red letter words. These are from Jesus words, okay? He heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul's answer is, who are you, Lord? Saul asked, more red letter words, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. There are words in there that Jesus uses often, get up and go. And if your kids are like helping you around the house and they're already getting up and going, you don't need to tell them, get up and go. Paul is on the ground, struck by a light. He's blind, which we'll get to in a second. And Jesus just tells him, get up and go. So this is Paul's road to Damascus experience. And I just wonder, like, who here has had that experience where you go from non-believer to totally bought in, all in, on fire believer? Anyone has had just a boom experience? A few. And I would love to hear that story. But for most, like, that's not how it happens. That's not how it happened for me. It took a couple of years, and then a lot of doubt after that, and still some doubt today, if we're being honest. But for most, it doesn't happen that way. So Paul has this incredible experience, like incredible experience. There's a light, he's struck, he's on the ground, he hears directly from Jesus. He opens his eyes and he's blind. So there were some men traveling with Paul that day to go do bad things in Damascus. But instead now, they are leading him to Damascus, where he's blind for 3 days. there's a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to Ananias, who's already in Damascus. And Ananias, being obedient, says, "Yes, Lord." And Ananias was instructed to go where Paul was, now in Damascus, and place his hands on him and restore his sight. And Ananias is like, "Nah, like I'm good. Like I've heard of Paul. Paul kills me and people who think like me. Like I don't really want to go do that. Like I'm good. I don't want anything to do with Paul." But Acts 9, verse 15 and 16 will be on your screen. And this is what the Lord says back to Ananias. You have it. Well, it's a good thing that I brought my Bible today. It's there, though. All right, give me just a second. Sorry. Acts 9, 15 and 16. This is what the Lord says back to Ananias. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight." This is where Ananias is like, I don't feel comfortable with that. Like, I've heard of this guy. And the Lord says it to Ananias, "Go." There's that word again. And it's got an exclamation point. "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, and to the people of Israel." Now here, listen to this one. "I will show him," this is Saul, "how much he must suffer for my name." So Ananias then obediently goes and does what the Lord asks of him to do. He puts his hands on Paul, and Paul gains his sight. And this series is called Road Trip. And like this is now the beginning of Paul's road trip, really, right? So this is the last week in that series, and my family has been on some road trips lately. And I would like to just share a couple of pictures of some recent ones. So here is the first picture. So that is just a mosquito bite. So if you know Gabe, that's my son, he's super happy, right? Amen? All right. But he's super fragile. Like he's just super fragile, and everything that could happen to him, like he had casts as a baby. He's had a lot. He's had a tough life. So that's from one single mosquito bite. His eye swelled shut. My wife had to go to town and get him whatever moms get kids for, I don't know. So then we decided to go on another road trip. Here's the second picture. And, oh, that's not coming through real good. But you all see all these bumps? So I don't know what that was. So, like, now we've protected him against mosquitoes on this road trip. And then something else got him. So this is right after we get home, and they're all over his face and his hands. And so, I mean, our road trips, I'm sure you guys have had road trip stories that have just gone, We've had a few. And then our most recent road trip is this one. So that is the back of our car. Excuse me. That's the back of our car, and we're up in like Leelanau Peninsula, and we're gonna make a left-hand turn. And I see this motorcycle in my rear view, and I'm like, I don't think he's stopping. I'm sure he is. Like, who wouldn't stop and run into a car? But before I could say to my wife, like, for sure, he's not stopping, he hit us. And luckily, this was our first vacation without kids in 6 years. So we got our daughter May of 2015. May of 2013. Sorry, Moose. So it's our first, like, few days away vacation, and we're about to go on a hike, which this accident saved me from having to do. which she is persistent, and we did the next day. So we get hit, and I pull over. My first concern is for this guy. He's on a motorcycle. And a BMW, so his bike costs three times our car. But anyway, so he hits our car, and we pull over. And my first thought is, he okay? And he sits up. So, okay, he's not dead. Then he stands up, so it's not that critical. And then my thinking is like, man, he could have hit us, flown through the windshield, but he didn't, so now my thoughts shift. And if you know me well, I love shoes and I love sunglasses, and these bad boys were in the back of that car. And I thought, what could have happened to my shoes? Now, once I knew he was safe, I mean, he was my, like, what could have happened if he flew through the windshield and there's glass all over him? Like, does insurance cover him? I really thought that. So he broke his arm or his wrist or something, and I actually just got the car back yesterday, I think, maybe the night before it got fixed. But I was standing on the side of that road, and I was working on this message. And I started to wonder, once I knew he was okay and my shoes were okay, and my wife was okay, you're good, you were good. I mean, we're good. I mean, like, our airbag didn't even go off, but still. But I did start to wonder, what if we didn't take this trip? What if we didn't take this road trip? What if we just stayed home? Would we have been safer? Probably. Would this wreck have happened? No. Would Gabe have been bitten all over his body? Probably not. And I've been working on this message for a couple of weeks. And then it shifted from like me, 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 us, 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 shoes, 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 car, 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 to like, because my mind frame, and I'm struggling with this message, and my mindset then goes to, what if Paul had just went home after he's struck? Because he's saved now. So Paul is saved now, and he could have just went home. With his saved self, he's getting to heaven, all good, because he knows what's coming. So what if Paul had just went home? What if he had not taken his new faith and done anything with it? Paul spoke about having a thorn in his side, and what he's saying is that's sin. He was saved by Jesus immediately and very suddenly, but Paul was not perfect, and no one is. Amen. I love you sitting up front. You're so encouraging. Paul knew he'd need every ounce of courage because of the heavy sufferings his work would bring. Paul says this, "The Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecution are waiting for me." Now, we live in 2019 in America. Besides some ridicule or some judgment from other people, we're not about to face any of these things, I hope, that are about to be on the screen. But Paul knew what was coming, and it took a lot of courage and a lot of faith and a lot of trust in Jesus for him to do it. And so here are some things that Paul went through. Acts 21:27, he was kidnapped. They'll be on your screen. There you go. Acts 23:2, he was beaten. He was accused in lawsuits. He was ridiculed, as we talked about. He was shipwrecked. I'm sure some of you have heard that story. If not, preparing for this message, I think I could do a two-hour class, literally on like Acts 1 through 20, and the things Paul went through, and maybe even 1 through 30. And then lastly, he was imprisoned for his faith. He was in prison for his faith. Now, besides the ridicule, like I said, a lot of that's not going to happen to us now, luckily. And Paul knew it was coming, and he still went. And maybe you don't think that's a big deal, but you don't have the mic, and I thought it was a big deal. So I really want to hit home the point, like, man, it's hot up here. I really want to hit home the point, like, he knew bad things were coming, and he still did it. How many in here have canceled dentist appointments because you're scared? Not me, but I was just being sympathetic. But I mean, I've avoided or canceled some things because I'm scared to do them. Amen. And what Paul's facing is way worse than a dentist appointment, and he's brave, and he does it through faith. A.W. Tozer, I have a quote from him. "Faith, as Paul saw it, was a living, flaming thing leading to surrender and obedience to the commandments of Christ." If knowing you're in for a world of hurt and doing it is not surrender and obedience, then I don't know what that looks like. From the minute Paul was struck on the road to Damascus, the evidence in his life are here. There are 26 books in the New Testament. Paul wrote 13 of them. That's half. But from the minute Paul was struck on the road to Damascus, the evidence of his life are in this book, that he lived his life out loud for God. Paul writes to Timothy saying to fan into flame the gift of God. 2 Timothy verse 1 says this, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me of his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Paul is in prison for his beliefs. He calls himself a prisoner of the Lord. And that's not in a negative way, like, I have to believe in you. The word prisoner, everybody thinks is like a negative, like I'm a prisoner. Paul is so captivated and bought in and 100% all in, trusting in Jesus, that he calls himself a prisoner of the Lord. Like, really think about being a prisoner of the Lord. And there are times, like, in my life, much like Paul, that there's a thorn in my side. Like, right, sin. All of us have it. So I wrote down a few of mine. But they're light. They're not heavy. Like, they're not real heavy. But they're light ones. But I love softball, and I play a ton. And I don't know if John Nesbitt's here today. He's on my team. And softball Brandon and non-softball Brandon are two different people. The competitiveness comes out, and I do things that are regretful sometimes. Or how about when I make crude jokes when it is just me and the guys? Or how about if I'm on a road trip and I have tons of bad drivers surrounding me? Thorns in my side. I mean, I can make a list 100 deep of my thorns. I listed like 5. How about this, Katie Hope? When my kids don't listen after asking them calmly to do something for what feels like the tenth time, does Dad then get a little up here? Yeah. And like Brad said a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, you know what? I'm not there yet. None of us are there yet. But luckily, Jesus saves and God forgives for us, for the thorns on our side. So I don't know if you take notes. I'm not a big note taker. But if you take notes or you have your phones, I would encourage you to maybe take notes here or screenshot this, because you take the time to come to church, whether it every week or a couple times a month or maybe once a month, or maybe if you come on Christmas and Easter. But if that's the case, you wouldn't be hearing me right now, because it's not Christmas nor Easter. But I would encourage you to write this down. You don't have them? Word. I guess it's good I wrote them down then. So I have 3 questions for reflection. Number 1, what are you a prisoner of? Maybe it's your career. Maybe you live through your kids and their success or their academic or sporting success. Or maybe it's making as much money as you can. So number 1 is, what are you a prisoner of? Number 2 is, what do you risk to live out loud for God? What do you risk? Paul risked, I almost swore just then. Paul risked a ton. Caught myself. Amen. I almost said blank load, just so we're on the same page. Oh boy. This is fun. It's hot up here though. But no, what do you risk to live out loud for God? Really, what do you risk? Is it work friends, like you don't want to be judged? Are you willing to risk your bar friends to live out loud for God? Are you risk to just being judged by just people? Like when you mess up, they pounce. Like, I thought you were a Christian. If you think that's what Christianity is, then you're wrong about Christianity. Christianity doesn't mean don't make mistakes. You'll never mistake again. We're mistakers. No, we're sinners, right? We make mistakes. We sin. Amen. And number 3 is, what is the evidence of your faith? Is it in the way that you treat and speak to people? Is it in the way you treat and speak to strangers? Is it the way that you treat the least of us? Because all those people are the people that Jesus hung out with. He didn't hang out with the richest richies. He hung out with tax collectors. I made that word up, richest richies. Hashtag that, put on Instagram. But he hung out with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. He did. So number 1, what are you a prisoner of? Since it's not on the screen, I'm going to hammer this home. Number 2, what do you risk to live out loud for God? Number 3, what is the evidence of your faith? And I do want to say this, like, doing like the first-time guest area, like, I've met a lot of you, but there are faces here I don't recognize today. And so I want to say this. If what's holding you back from being a Christian or taking a next step is you think God can't forgive you for your sin, then you are wrong, and it is a lie being told to you. Because there is a book full of things about a dude named Paul who killed and murdered and persecuted Christians. And Jesus came to him and saved him. So if you're here today and you're like, nah, I've done too much bad, come talk to me. I've done a lot of bad. You know what? I'm saved. And I'm forgiven. Amen? Amen. That's what I have today. Amen. Thanks for, it's hot up here. It's like H-A-W-T hot. That's what I have today. Let me pray for us and then we'll do whatever we do on Sundays. God, I just thank you just so much just for this opportunity, just to use me, just a regular guy, like it says in our notes. Thank you for calming my nerves and letting us just hear more about Paul today. Thank you, God, just for the blessings you've put on our church, the people in our church. And some of us have had a rough summer, and I acknowledge that. But you are just so, you're just there, God. You're there in good and bad, and we just kind of look for you. It's so easy when things are good to maybe ignore you, and when things are bad to ask why. But you're just always there. You don't change, God. We do. And I just ask that you just draw us closer and nearer to you and our church just to be a light for your name in this city, God. Thank you for the blessings that you give all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we thank